Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, April 1st. Living a consistently godly life can be difficult. Here's a fresh perspective on living the life that never dies.
One of the most tender and beautiful incidences in the life of Christ is to be found in the 11th chapter of John. And if you'll turn there with us, please. And you'll recall that in this 11th chapter, that Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, along with Mary and Martha, lived in Bethany, and the scripture says that Lazarus became very ill and he died. And when they had sent word to the Lord Jesus to come because Lazarus, whom he loved, was ill, the Bible says that Jesus deliberately waited until Lazarus was dead, which did not seem to be the kind thing to do, but Jesus said, you know, this is for the glory of God. And so he waited until he had been in the tomb for about 4 days, and then he comes upon the scene there. And of course, Martha comes out to meet him, and Mary was still in the house. And so they began their conversation in the 21st verse of John chapter 11. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked her, do you believe this? Listen to that. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. How are you going to live even if you die? And second, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? How do you explain that? When the funeral homes have lots of business, and every day somebody dies, multitudes of people die, and they're not all unsaved people, but some of them are Christian people. People who've been born again with the Spirit of God. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and yet we go to the funeral home and there's their body in the casket, and yet Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Everyone who believes in me shall never die, and there they are. How is it they're dying, and Jesus said, if you believe in me, you won't die? What did he mean by that? That scripture is like so many others that we read and we think we know what it means, and yet sometime the richest, deepest truths of God's Word, we skim right across the top and we miss the truth of it. So first of all, an explanation of what he's saying here. You and I are more than just body. We are body, soul, and spirit. And whereas most people spend most of their time working on the body, which is only the house of the real person, God says the most important part of you is the unseen part, not the physical part. But he says you have not only a body but a soul. You have a mind, a will, an emotion, a conscious and a consciousness. You have not only that, but you have a spirit. And that which is going to last beyond this life is the part of you that is unseen. It is on the spirit level that you and I relate to God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. If a man or woman's spirit is dead, they're dead. If their spirit is alive, they're alive. You recall he says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You and I came into this world with a carnal nature. We chose sin very soon thereafter, and we began to sin against Almighty God. Our spirit was dead to the things of God. We could function with the world, relate to them mentally and emotionally and physically to our environment, but on the level in which we related to God, we were dead. So that the most important part of man was dead, spiritually dead. And he says, for example, in Revelation chapter 20, if you'll turn there for just a moment, he speaks of that death in a clearer way. You know the verse in Ephesians chapter 2 when he said, in times past, that is before you were redeemed by the blood of Jesus, he says, in times past, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Before you became a Christian, you still had a functioning body. You could walk around, smile, laugh, and talk. So what part of you was dead? The part of you that was dead was the most important part. The part of you that was dead was your spirit. You could not relate to God. The real you was dead. But listen to what he says when he talks about this death again in chapter 20 of the Revelation. He says in verse 13, speaking of the great white throne judgment, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown or cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That is, the lake of fire is the second death. To experience the lake of fire is to experience the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Chapter 21, verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is a physical death, but the physical death is not what he's speaking of here. He calls it a second death. What is it that dies at the second death? The physical death, the Bible says, it is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment, referring to the physical death. But when he speaks of the second death, he speaks about dying again, a second death, an eternal separation from Almighty God. You see, no believer will ever experience the second death. In fact, Paul talked about death for the believer as going to sleep. He called it, those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He talked about the loved ones who'd gone on before who were asleep in Jesus Christ. So you and I know that before we were saved, spiritually we were dead. Mentally and emotionally, we were alert to those things about us. Physically, our body was functioning properly. But the real you, the part of you that's going to last beyond this life, the part of you that exists and relates to Almighty God, the spiritual part of us, he says, was dead. But then there came a time when you and I, acknowledging our sinfulness, confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, accepted his death on the cross as payment for our sins. And in that moment, maybe not fully understanding everything that was going on, but we did believe that Jesus died for our sins. And in our childlike faith, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says the moment we did that, we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things were passed away. Behold, things became new. What I want us to see is this. In the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, something dramatic and eternal took place in your life. The Bible says that you and I received a whole new life. He didn't patch up the life that we had, but he gave us an entirely new life. He gave us the life of Jesus. Now listen to me carefully. He gave us the life of Christ. That is, the moment you said, I do receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, Jesus did not simply send you something. Jesus came into your life to live. And he says, Christ, who is your life? When he appears, we shall appear with him. Christ, who is our life. Now, what kind of life is that? That speaks of a quality of life and a duration of life. Both of them are involved. I want you to see what Jesus meant when he said to her, even though he dies, he shall live. And he that believes in me shall never, never die. What did he mean by that? When you and I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, here's what happens. Beforehand, we are separated from God, aliens from the commonwealth of the promises of God. But the moment you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, it isn't something he sends down to us. The Bible says that you and I become a part of the life of God. Christ becomes our life. And listen, what kind of life did he have? His life was, always has been, eternal. That is, there is no beginning with the life of Jesus. There is no ending in the life of Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ life is like an eternal stream that flows in both directions. It has no beginning out here. It has no end. That's why we call him the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the beginning and the end of all things, but on the other side of the beginning and way out yonder in eternity future, Jesus Christ always has been, is, always shall be. He knows no end to his life, neither beginning nor end. His life is eternal. Does he not say, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life"? In the Bible, the word everlasting and eternal are the same Greek word. Eternal life. When you and I received Jesus Christ as Savior, here's what we did. By faith, we stepped into the stream of God's eternal life that flows eternity past and has no beginning, that flows eternity future and has no ending. You and I become a part of the eternal life of Almighty God, so that there is no way for us to die once we become a Christian. Oh, you say, what about that body? I'm going to come to that. But the real you can never die. You stepped into the stream of life eternal. You stepped into the stream of eternal life. Jesus Christ became your life. That means that you, in response to the offer of salvation, you began to participate. You joined in, you stepped into, you became a flow of the eternal life of God. That speaks of the duration of it. Christ's life, your life. Equally important to that, the quality of that life became a part of your whole being. That is, the life that Jesus lived here on this earth, all of the expressions of his life, the character of his life, became your life. He says, we have the mind of Christ. That means I have the capacity to think like Jesus thinks. Not in all the fullness of his omniscience, but to think like he thinks. The Holy Spirit came into your life to dwell. And why did he come to dwell? He came to empower you. That is the Holy Spirit, God's power living within you in the person of the Holy Spirit, to live out of you and through you this precious eternal life of Almighty God. And how is it described? He says the fruit of that life through the Holy Spirit is what? Love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and self-control and patience and faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is the overflow of this life. Was that not the overflow of Christ's life? Jesus did not walk around trying to do good. He didn't walk around saying, I must not do that and I must do this. Jesus Christ, as he walked, what happened? The life of God flowed through him. He said, I don't do what I choose to do. I just do the works of my Father. He says, his life is the Father's life. When you and I received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, what did we do? We stepped into the stream of life eternal in duration in what? Life in all of its fullness, in its quality. Jesus Christ's life became our life. And so as the life of God surged through the life of Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, so it is, my friend, that the life of Jesus Christ surges through your life and my life. But if I don't know that, if I struggle with trying to patch up my own life, if I'm trying to do better and fretting against this, that, and the other, and worried and full of doubts and anxieties, then I am doing what? I am living in this body with this supernatural potential existing within me. But if I do not know what my life is, if I don't know the quality of it, I don't know the duration of it, then I'll fret and fume in life and find myself failing and falling and becoming discouraged. Listen, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection, the life. I'm not just going to give you something. He says, I'm it and I'm coming to live within your very being, because every single one of us has his life living within us. How are you going to die when you have Christ's life living within you? You say, well, but I'm thinking about some scriptures I know. Well, let's deal with a few of them. For example, what did Paul say in that 2 Corinthians book, chapter 5? When he was talking about this physical body and the shape it's in, he says, but for him, he said it, for all of us who are believers, he said, absent from this body and what? Present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. absent from the body, present with the Lord. There is no dying for God's people. There is no dying for the saints of God. There's simply a tremendous exchange that takes place, a tremendous transforming experience that takes place. He says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me shall never come into condemnation, but has already passed from death unto life," the life of God. Already passed from death unto life. There is no judgment of condemnation, only a judgment of rewards for the people of God. You and I have within us the life of eternal God. We are living with God's eternal life flowing through this very being of ours. We have His life. There is no dying of God's life. Almighty God Himself would have to die. He would have to cease to exist for a child of God to ever die. He said, but now what about these folks who get placed in the coffin? You've never seen any saint of God buried. You've seen them bury what? The body that ceased to operate. The function ceased to function. The body ceased to operate naturally and normally. And what happened? This old house, this temple of God, began to disintegrate, and finally they had to put it away, but God's saint did not die absent from the body, instantaneously fasting, you and I can bat an eye, present with the living God. There's not one single verse of Scripture that says you bury children of God. You say, but what about those verses that deal with sleeping? Every time Paul uses the word sleep, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, when he's talking about the resurrection, he's just describing how God's people just get transformed, leave this life into the other life. And he says it's like going to bed at night, lying there consciously awake, closing your eyes, and the next thing you know, it's morning and the sun's risen. That's the way he's describing what the world calls death, because you see, the way the world sees death, for children of God, there is no death. That's why Jesus said to Mary and to Martha, he said to them, even though you think you're experiencing death, there is no death for the child of God. Listen to how he said it. He said, he that believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You see, the physical part, that's not the real you. The real you's on the inside, and it's going to live eternally in one of two places. You're either going to be called by God one of these days, and this old body of yours is just going to drip right off of the real you. And they're going to do everything they can to make it look as good as they can. That won't make a bit of difference. The real you is already in glory. What do you care about how this thing looks when you're going to get a brand new one? And it's going to be fashioned like the body of Jesus Christ. You know what our problem is? We listen to too many ads. We read too many magazines. We need to start reading the real book. You know, the emphasis of this book's not on the body. The emphasis of this book is on the spirit. The emphasis of this book is on the way we think. The emphasis on this book is who we really are in Christ Jesus. Who we really are is on the inside of these bodies. That's what's going to last. That's what's going to be in eternity. That's what's going to be in heaven, not this thing. What we're going to get, he says, in that day when Jesus Christ comes back, he says, these bodies of ours are going to be resurrected. And Jesus Christ's resurrection was his eternal, omnipotent shout to all of eternity past and future that every single believer is going to experience the glory of the resurrection. And we who are parents need to instruct our children that death is not the end of anything for a believer. Death is simply the shedding of that which we want no longer anyway, and for the exchange of a whole new suit, a whole new body, one that can never be tarnished or touched by sin and death.
Thank you for listening to Living the Life That Never Dies. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.